Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I'm really thrilled to have in the studio with us today Janet Stocko. She is a citizen of Hastings, and we also are joined today by Sergeant Chris Nelson with the Hastings Police Department. Last year, Janet was severely injured in an e-bike accident when she was hit from behind by an e-bike while out walking, and we're really happy to have her in studio, not only to tell her story, but also to educate people on the dangers of e-bikes and also just some of the laws that are in effect that we hope we can educate people to abide by. So first of all, thank you both for coming in today. Janet, thank you. It's really nice of you to tell your story. I know it's hard to go back and relive it, but I certainly would love our listeners to hear it from you.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for inviting me to this session. Yeah, so as you mentioned, last August 12th, I went for a walk in the evening, turned on my Apple Watch, and left home. And that's the last thing I remember. Walked for a ways and was over on 15th Street when I was hit from behind by an e-bike traveling at approximately 25 miles an hour.
You were on the sidewalk?
Yes, I was just on the sidewalk. Fortunately, my Apple Watch sent the signal to 911, so I was very fortunate there. The signal was called, and police and the EMT were dispatched to the site. There was a gentleman that lived close by. Him and his family were about to go out and have a campfire that night, and he heard the accident from within inside the house and thought somebody hit his car. That was the impact.
Oh my gosh, Janet.
So he came out and took sight of what was happening, came over, and I have since visited with the gentleman. But he said, you know, I did not think you were living. And I got down and you were not moving. And then I did take a gasp, and he helped me until the EMT arrived. I was taken to Regions by ambulance. Family was let known what happened by the police department, and they came to Regions that evening. By the time they got there, I had already been taken into brain surgery. I had a traumatic brain injury, bleeding of the brain. I had facial fractures, broken eardrum, carotid artery, just a subdural hematoma, just a lot going on. So at the time, I was not conscious, and they took me into surgery and did craniotomy, which is a very severe brain surgery. It's to open the skull to get at the brain to alleviate the bleeding. When my family arrived, they were met by the med team and explained to them what the procedure was that I was under and said, we don't know that she's going to make it, but we're going to take care of the bleeding on the brain. 3 hours later, after a long agonizing wait, I made it through the surgery. And I was taken into intensive care, and I was on a ventilator for the next 2 days. This happened on August 12th. My birthday is August 18th, and I vaguely have some memory of my birthday. So I was with no memory of anything that happened from the time I left my house and turned the Apple Watch on to about August 18th. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. I started out, like I said, in intensive care, moved to a trauma unit, and then on to a therapy unit, and came out of the hospital after 3 weeks. From beginning of September through end of the year, I went through lots of therapy, physical, occupational, speech, and a lot of appointments with the neuro team, and so on and so forth. So they were all phenomenal. And at the time, I was told you have 1 year for recovery in order to have the most of recovery that I would have. So I was given a variety of things to do. The biggest thing for me was my ear was still ringing, and it still is today, and I lost my sense of taste and smell. You know, throughout, I was having some off-balance spells. You know, it was from the concussion that I had and the whiplash from that accident. But in May, I went into the plastic surgeon, and I had a CT scan ahead of that, and he noted that I have open orbital roof fracture. So that means the bone that holds your eye socket in is fractured, and it's open to my brain. Not many people that he sees have this. The impact of that accident was severe. The imbalance issues that I was having has now subsided, and I'm hoping that it stays that way. We are determining what we're going to do with that open orbital roof fracture. Not sure if it's going to require surgery or not. I have since been contacted by the brain team at Mayo Clinic. Just recently went there. Where the site was that they did the craniotomy, it's still painful, still sore, and I have some bone repository. So they're determining if there needs to be some sort of surgical intervention. Not sure. The other area that I'm being seen for is neuro-ophthalmology. I have always worn contacts, and I'm having trouble wearing contacts in terms of headaches, head pressure. but a lot of that's interrelated with what I have going on. Probably the biggest thing for me is the loss of sense and smell. I knew that my recovery was going to take a long time, but I went into it with, I'll get through this. I will get through this. And I had an abundance of people praying for me, and it is emotional. But I just recently learned that I plateaued, and I no longer smell or taste, and I won't. There is no treatment for this. I thought maybe there was stem cell treatment that I could do, but there is not. The nerve to my olfactory nerve was severed, and everything below that is dead. So, you know, that's hard to come to grips with. The smelling is dangerous, not being able to smell. We have totally revamped our home, but anything outside of our home, I'm pretty much walking into unknown territory. I have no idea what I'm walking into. Same thing with tasting. Being a cook and a baker was sort of my signature. It's something that is tough to get excited about. I know the foods that I like and the foods I didn't like, and that's pretty much what I do. But to know that I will never have that back is tough. So, you know, my kids have been phenomenal, and they have all said to me, Mom, if you saw yourself what you were like in the hospital, it's amazing the recovery that you've made. We didn't know what you were going to be like afterwards. So I am very, very grateful and feel very blessed for the recovery that I have made. And the neurologists have all said that too. We can't believe what you look like, and we can't believe you're sitting here. When you walk out in the waiting room, when you leave this appointment, you'll see, and I do see. I see people not able to function. And it's something I think about every day. So there hasn't been a day that hasn't gone by since August 12th that I haven't thought about this. Traumatic brain injury, as many people have heard, it's an invisible injury. It's something I will live with for the rest of my life. So going on a walk should never be a near-death experience. I guess that's where I would leave it with, as an education point to people that participate in this sort of activity.
You certainly have been inspiring. I know, too, the Hastings City Council, they actually kind of amended some of the ways they were going to vote. Do you want to talk about that and the impact that you had?
Yes, so was asked to join a city council meeting by the safety commissioner team. They were looking to present to the council ordinances for e-bikes and where they can be driven and where they can, and to raise awareness around the age. In the state of Minnesota, the age you have to be over 15 to operate an e-bike. That may or may be a common known factor, but it was more around where you can and cannot ride an e-bike, how fast you can operate an e-bike at, and having, I think, a headlight or a taillight that needs to be on after a certain time.
But you really were, unfortunately, it was a perfect storm. The person riding the bike was not of age, riding too fast, and riding on a sidewalk. There were a lot of ways this could have been avoided, is what you're saying. So yes, I think an educational piece is very important. So thank you for your advocacy work.
You're welcome.
In the middle of all you're going through.
Yep.
Sergeant Chris Nelson, let's talk about this story. This is a real world thing that happened right here in Hastings. And I know you certainly are out and about patrolling, and you want to help educate people. In Hastings, let's say it, you need to be 15 years old to ride an e-bike.
Yeah, and so the city ordinance that was recently passed, the intent isn't really with the idea of playing a game of gotcha. That is not what we're about. We want people to be reasonable and respectful of other people. And, you know, the ordinance, to get to the meat of the ordinance, it's you do need to be 15 to ride an e-bike in the city of Hastings.
Is an ordinance the same thing as a law?
Essentially.
Okay,
it's just, it's a local, it's city specific. So every ordinance is city specific. So there might be a state law about something, and there might be a city ordinance about that exact same thing. And they might essentially be the same. They might be a little different. In the case of the Hastings City Ordinance, you have to be 15 years old. You cannot ride an e-bike on a sidewalk except for if you're crossing that sidewalk. So if you're going perpendicular, you can cross
for
that sidewalk.
Second,
but yes,
then, yes.
But under no circumstances should you be riding an e-bike, anybody, on a sidewalk. An e-bike should be ridden on the road, furthest right as you can be while being safe. If you're on the roadway riding an e-bike, you can go up to the speed limit if your e-bike goes that fast. If you're on a bike trail, which is another area that you can ride, the maximum speed you can go would be 15 miles per hour.
And also, if you are riding on the road, which is where you're supposed to be, you need to be going in the direction of traffic.
Absolutely correct. And that's the same whether it's a bike or an e-bike or anything else. You should be going with the flow of traffic versus against the traffic.
So are there bike rules versus e-bike rules, ordinances, laws, or whatever?
Yeah, there are. You can, by law, ride a bicycle, a non-electric or motorized bicycle, on the sidewalk, but you always need to yield to pedestrians. So that is a general rule to keep in mind. I think one thing not to get too far into the weeds on is trying to get into every little specific of every nuanced ordinance or law and really think of what makes sense in these circumstances, right? It's if I see a pedestrian or pedestrians walking on the sidewalk, if I'm on a bike, I need to show deference to those people. You know, yes, there's a law that says that. I think there's also reasonableness that just says that. If you're riding a bike on the sidewalk, do it at a speed that's reasonable. There's nothing in ordinance or statute that says I can't, if I can pedal to my heart's content and get up to a certain speed, there's nothing that defines, you know, you hit a certain speed, you're over. But are you biking with respect for others around you? That's really what it comes down to, frankly.
So do you think that these ordinances, these laws, are going to have to be re-looked at as e-bikes have become almost as fast as some mopeds or scooters or...
I think one of the challenges is we have many modes of transportation besides our feet or what we would consider a motorcycle or a car that can get us from A to B, right? Whether it's an electric scooter or an e-bike or a motorized bike or what we might, you know, as old people think of as a moped, right? And they do have different rules. And so that's why I think it's for a 15-year-old child who typically is in the summer, they're throwing their fishing pole and a backpack on the back, they're on a bike, they're riding on the sidewalk, they're going to, you know, down to Lake Rebecca or whatever to have fun with their friends. They're not making the distinction between a bike and an e-bike. It's what they're doing. But they do, and I think to a significant degree, just parents need to be aware of having these conversations, because these are tools that people can obviously really get hurt with. 90%+ of the time, it might go absolutely fine and you might just be annoyed because somebody went by you too fast, right? But when something negative happens, it can be really negatively life-impacting for those involved. So,
absolutely. Janet, do you want to add to that conversation?
I appreciate you articulating that, defining that out, that e-bikes are not allowed on sidewalks and the speed, you know, is 15 miles an hour if when they're on bike trails. And if they're not on a bike trail, they should be not on the sidewalk and on the road. So I think it's just really around raising awareness to people that use e-bikes and to parents of their family that is still home over the age of 15, and even under the age of 15, that you're not allowed to operate an e-bike unless you're 15.
And I think that we need to get the word out not only to parents, but also to grandparents. A lot of grandparents have e-bikes, and I think that that's where kids sometimes get their first taste. I'm going to take your e-bike, Grandma, for, you know, a little spin. Well, if you're not 15, it's against the ordinance, which means it's against the law. And I think that it just can't bear repeating enough, because, Janet, you know firsthand just how horrific this can be. And, you know, you mentioned, Sergeant Nelson, that you should yield, but she didn't even have a chance to yield or do anything if you were hit from behind.
Yeah, and that's exactly correct. You're exactly correct. And that's where it's being mindful of, you know, the ordinances and the statutes, but also, again, just that principle of I'm going pretty fast on a device that's on a sidewalk where people walk, so maybe it would be safer if I were on the side of the road, you know, because stuff happens. It's not done with malice, but accidents happen. And the more we can be thoughtful of other people and deferential to what's going on around us, really, I think the safer and, you know, happier everybody's going to, you know, ultimately be.
So I know that right now we're in an educational period, and you mentioned it's not a gotcha law, but yet what will the long-term ramifications be? Because certainly there should be some if people aren't abiding by what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So really with, you know, with any law, or even, you know, I don't know if you've both seen speed trailers sitting around town, right? I mean, If you have or haven't, we periodically will put speed trailers in different areas. The point being, when we put that out there, for many people, it is an educational thing. They go, oh, geez, I didn't realize how fast I was going. And then once the speed trailer's been there for a time, then we do enforcement. Because it's like, well, the speed trailer's been there for a week or 2 weeks or whatever. You've seen it. So you do the enforcement. So usually when something is, you know, early on, it really is an educational thing because it's not an intuitive ordinance. There's nothing intuitive about I need to be 15 to ride an e-bike. That, to me, is not an intuitive thing. That's something I have to learn. Once I learn that, that should impact my behavior if I'm somebody riding an e-bike. So right now, when we're, you know, when we're seeing kids out and enjoying their summer and doing their thing, if they appear to be underage and or they appear like they're not following the ordinances, not out of malice, but just because they don't know, they're not thinking about that. You know, we stop and we have a conversation and explain what the ordinance is. And sometimes you see that positively impact something. And sometimes you see it was, you know, maybe in one ear and out the other. And sometimes it may be, getting on the phone with a parent and just kind of explaining to them. Because again, nobody's doing something with malice. And we're kind of, from my perspective, in my opinion, we're in an education phase. You know, if you see somebody who is with malice or just disregard for other safety or well-being, or you know you've had a conversation with them before, that's when I think you start to look at a citation. Obviously, if something significant happens, it's like a motor vehicle accident. You might speed and you might get a warning, but if your speeding resulted in an accident, you're probably more likely to get a ticket. It's kind of the reality of what happens. So much of it is just back to the idea of it being kind of a fun gift, whether it's parents or grandparents. I would have loved to get one of these things as a kid. I would have gone nuts with this thing. But I think just for parents, because the parents have the fully developed brains. The parents have the awareness. They've had life experience to say stuff happens. They listen to KDWA and hear Janet's story, right? So it's incumbent on those who are in the know to share this information like any other issue that you're dealing with your kids or your grandkids or whatever. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Just this is a serious tool. It's a fun toy, but it needs to be treated with respect and with respect and deference to other people.
It's great advice. Yeah. Thank you. Janet, I just have to say you do look great. You are a walking miracle. Thank you. Maybe you're going to be a reminder for people to slow down, listen to what the ordinances are. Thank you for your work on this as well. We want to thank our guests again, Janet Sacco and Sergeant Chris Nelson with the Hastings Police Department. Be safe out there. We don't want anyone else going out for a walk and not remembering anything that happens after that. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.